guess I have to thank Reverend Greenspan for giving me the opportunity, and thank everyone else for giving me the opportunity to. The pasuk says, "Paragimel pasuk aleph, Vayhi Devar Hashem El Yoina," and it was the word of Hashem to Yoina Shenis a second time. Lemar, this is what he should say. So we all know that this was the second time that Hashem spoke to Yoina. The first time was in the beginning of Yoina, and then Yoina did not want to listen. He ran away, and now Hashem spoke to him again. What we told him, Kum Leich al Nineveh, get up, go to Nineveh, Ha'ir Hagdelu. Go to Nineveh, the big city. Ukra Eleho, and call out to it, Esakriya, the calling, Asher Anoichi Dover Elecha, which I will speak to you. So basically, the message was, in the simple form, that what I told you to do last time, before you ran away, I'm telling you again, go do it. The question is obvious, the Al-Shech has the question, that why did Hashem have to tell him the message again? If one is told to do something, and he didn't do it, and he realized he's wrong, like Yoina realized he's wrong, he got punished for not listening, and now he came to right his wrong, it should be self-understood what he's supposed to do. Now he should continue from where he left off. Hashem told him to do something. He should now go and go do it. Why does he have to be told again, a message again? Hashem could just tell him, go do what I said. Why is it important why does Hashem have to give him the whole command and tell him again what to say?
It's different this time. Because this time Hashem gives him the Kriya.
Oh, so that is one answer, very good. And now this question is really dependent on a machlokes between the Mefarshim. Exactly what happened the first time, what happened now. Like you said, I forgot your name. What's your name again?
Richard.
Like Richard said, there are some Mefarshim learn that the first time Hashem never told him what to say. The first time in the beginning of Perek Aleph, Hashem said, go to Nineveh and call out to them. He never told them what to say. Like the pasuk over there does not say that he told them what to say. And Yoina just ran away before Hashem could tell him what to say. So now, we're up to the second time. Now Yoina is ready to listen. So Hashem said, go to Nineveh and call out this what I'm going to tell you. And he told him what to say, which we'll see in a few psukim, what he's supposed to say. So Hashem had to tell him this because he had not yet told him what to say, and this was the introduction. I will tell you, get up and go, and I will tell you what you should say. That is how some of Hashem learn. But others, the Radak included, learned that Hashem did tell Yoina the first time what to say. The pasuk doesn't say it because it didn't evolve, it didn't come out. What it says here that Hashem told Yoina to say, Hashem told him that the first time too. In that case, we have to understand why is it that Hashem had to tell him again to go do the same thing. So we can maybe understand this. It's based on a Tshuvas Radvaz, one of the Rishonim, who says that when Yoina was asked to do something, by running away, he said, no, he doesn't want to do it. It means Hashem asked him to do something. Hashem asked him, go to Nineveh and give them a message, tell them that they're doing bad after the tshuva. And he didn't listen. By not listening, he did not accept the job. He did not accept to do it. Now, sometimes Hashem will tell someone to do something, and if you don't want to do it, fine, I'll have it done another way. An example of this we find in Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, we know that Esther was the queen, she was in the palace, Achashverosh, Haman, made a gzeir, they made a decree against the Yidden. And now the question was what to do. Mordechai told Esther about the problem. Esther sent back a message that I haven't been called to the king for a while. And she started explaining that it would be very dangerous for her just to go by herself to the king. Maybe she should wait. Mordechai sends her back a message. If you're going to be quiet at this time, Revach v'hatzala yamoy la'yehudim m'makam acher. The saving, the Jews will get saved from somewhere else. But at ubeis avich tovid, you and your father's household will get lost. Where was Mordechai telling her? Hashem will for sure save the Eden. That's not a question. Hashem wants the whole purpose of the world was there should be a Jewish nation. Hashem will not allow Haman to totally destroy the Jews. That is not a question. They will get saved. Hashem's will happen. The question is, who is going to have the opportunity to do Hashem's will? Now, if you're going to take it on, if you're going to accept it upon yourself, with all the dangers involved, then you'll get it. You'll be zeicher, you'll have the opportunity to do Hashem's will. If you're not going to do it, if you don't accept, then you're going to get lost, and Hashem's will happen a different way. So here we have an example where Hashem gave Esther an opportunity, and Mordechai is telling her, if you take the opportunity, it's good. If not, Hashem's will happen a different way. In the same way, we can possibly understand that Hashem gave Yoina opportunity. It was a message he wanted to send to Nineveh. Nineveh, they were doing Averis, they were stealing, they should do tshuva. If Yoina said no, Yoina doesn't want the job, maybe Hashem took it away from him. This is very applicable in a lot of different circumstances. There are times when Hashem gives us opportunities. He gives us opportunities to come our way, to do chesed, to do good to somebody, to learn, to grow. Different things come our way. If we accept them, if we take them on, they're ours. If we don't take them on, we pass them up, we sort of run away from the opportunity, we can do what Yoina did, then what Hashem wants will happen anyway. But we're not going to be the ones who are zeicher, who do the mitzvah, who do the will of Hashem. Hashem's will happen a different way. So then we can understand why Hashem had to tell Yoina to do it again. Because if Yoina said no by running away, it's possible that he lost the opportunity and he's not going to get it. And he can't just come and say, okay, Hashem, now I'll go. One second. Who said it's still yours? Maybe Hashem gave it to someone else. Maybe Hashem doesn't want him to do it if you don't realize the greatness, the opportunity there is to listen to Hashem, or whatever Yoina's reason was for not listening. So therefore, without Hashem commanding Yoina again, without him telling him again, get up and go to Nineveh and call out this calling that I'm going to say to you, then maybe Yoina would not have the opportunity. And therefore, even if Hashem did tell him everything already, he had to tell him again because the first opportunity was lost. Now, the truth is that this example that we gave from Esther, we see sometimes Hashem give someone the opportunity, and if you're not going to accept it, it gets lost. But not everything goes that way. There are times, that Hashem says, Hashem in the world made that every person or every neshama has a job it has to do in this world. And just like we see from Yoina, that Yoina thought at first that he could not listen to Hashem. He could run away. He'll run away from Eretz Yisrael. If he runs away from Eretz Yisrael, there won't be Nevuah, and then he won't have to do the will of Hashem. It didn't work. Hashem said, "I want this to happen." He got swallowed by the fish. The whole story he had earlier, Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and he ends up doing the want of Hashem, the will of Hashem anyway. There are many things that are in this world that Hashem gives a neshama, Hashem gives a person a job to do in this world, and that has to get done. In fact, the Mishneh Berurah in Hilchos Yom Kippur, when he explains the reason why we read Yayna on Yom Kippur, so the Mishneh Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion brings the following. First, in the Mishneh Berurah itself, he explains one of the reasons why we read Yayna is to teach us She'ein Yechaylin Livroyach Min Hashem Yisbarach. You cannot run away from Hashem. That is a lesson. Every year, we have to review this on Yom Kippur. We cannot run away from Hashem. Now, what is the purpose of this lesson that we cannot run away from Hashem? And the Shaar HaTzion, the Mishneh Berurah explains a very, very important lesson. And he says as follows. There are times that a person thinks, I am so terrible, I fell so much, I cannot fix myself up. It's too difficult. I'm too far, I went too far, I did too many bad things. Especially it comes Yom Kippur, we think about the whole year, we have a list of all the avarice that were done, and a person says, I'm supposed to fix this up, I can't do this, it's too much, it's too difficult. So a person can sometimes think, okay, if Hashem wants to punish me, let him punish me. But to fix myself up is too difficult, I can't do it. A person could even say, Im yigzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamas, if Hashem says I have to die, I'll die. But I'm not fixing myself up, it's too difficult, it's impossible. So on that, the Mishneh Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim explains, it's a mistake. If Hashem wants from a person that he has a job in this world, and this is what he has to do. Every neshama that comes down to this world has a job. Every neshama has a job that has to get done, and it's a job that has to get done in bringing the world to its purpose. It's a very complicated issue to discuss in just one shiur, in a few minutes, this whole concept. But the basic concept is that Hashem made the world for a purpose. The purpose will be finished when Mashiach comes. That's when the world will be brought to its perfection. And every person in the world until then has a job to bring the world to perfection. How do you bring the world to perfection? How do you do your job? By listening to Hashem, by doing mitzvahs. Sometimes it's hard. Yes, it could be hard. That is your job. A person's job is to listen to Hashem even though it's hard. And by doing that, he is helping to bring the world to the perfection that Hashem wants. And because of that, a person will get schar. Because of that, a person will get rewarded in the next world. So the Mishneh Berurah explains that Soif Dover Yir, the end of things will be, Kol Ma Shakadosh Baruch Hu Roitzim Minafshei, whatever Hashem wants from this nefesh, from this soul, from this neshama, she is saken, he has to fix up, Mukhrach Hu L'saken, it's going to happen. And if a person doesn't finish it in one lifetime, then there's a concept of Gilgulim, there's a concept where neshama comes back again. Neshamas come, a person, we know a person, we know people as we know people, but there's a concept that a person dies. If his neshama did not reach his perfection, do everything it has to, it will come back again. And that's what's going to happen. So if a person thinks, it's too difficult for me, I can't fix myself up, let Hashem say I should die, I'll die, I can't fix myself up, the neshama is going to have to come back again and still fix itself up. If we realize our essence is our neshama, our essence is not the guf, it's not the body, our essence is a neshama, the neshama is going to have to go through the hardships anyway. If this thing is hard for you, for a person, it's going to be hard the next time too. That's part of the reason why Hashem, when we find sometimes things are particularly hard for a person, it could be because the person was here a different time, a person was here in a different Gilgal, this neshama was here on the world already and didn't do a certain job, so it comes back mainly for that purpose, and that thing could be inherently difficult because that is the main purpose that the person has. That's his main purpose of being in this world. So if a person is going to say, I can't fix myself up, it's too difficult, he's going to come back again. We learned this from Yaina, the Mishnah Berurah says. So Hashem wanted him to go and do Nevuah, and he didn't want. He ran away to a place where we can't get Nevuah. And we see everything that happened. He was in the fish, and L'chayre would come out, would seem to be L'fi Anira. When Yaina ran away, it would seem that now it's impossible for Hashem's will to happen. Because Hashem has to speak to him, and he ran away. Hashem can't speak to him. Hashem, that's the rule. Hashem doesn't speak to people, to a Navi, and of Eretz Yisrael. And we see, no, Mikol Makor, Me'inush, Shesev Dover, the end was, Sheyrotzen Hashem Yisbarach and Skayim, whatever Hashem wanted happened, V'yedach V'yinove, that, and he did go and say his Nevuah. Kein Hu Adam, the same thing is with every single person, B'nyanov, that whatever his job is to do, he's going to have to do. So we see here that there are two types of commands that Hashem has in this world. There are some, which like we said before, opportunities like we find by Esther. The thing is going to get done, the question is who's going to do it? Will it be you, will it be someone else? That is opportunity. Either you grab the opportunity or you don't. If you grab it, you're lucky. If not, someone else will be lucky. That is the way to look at things that come our way. The opportunities, we have to take them. There are other things which come our way, which are not just opportunities. These are things which are going to happen. Our neshama will come back one time, another time, another time, until it does its job. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah says is going on by Yaina. So it comes out that the question here was, what type of command was this from Hashem? This that Yaina has to go and say his Nevuah to Nineveh. Was this the opportunity type? Was this like we find by Esther? Either he takes it, and then it's his, and if not, then Yaina can't go do it again. So for that reason, Yaina had to wait for Hashem to tell him to do it again. We see from this, Hashem told him yes to do it, that this was his job, and he couldn't say no. He has to do it. This has to get done by him. This is his job in this world. So this would explain this concept of why Hashem had to tell him to do it again. Because if Hashem didn't tell him to have to do it again, possibly it's a lost opportunity. But now that Hashem did tell him to do it, we learn from this lesson that we see from the Mishnah Berurah. The lesson is that when we have a job to do, it has to get done. It has to get done by us. And we're going to do it no matter what. So we might as well do it right the first time around. Right. Well, because there are some things which are, well, Adam Rishon, maybe we can say that he didn't get another chance. He got another chance in the fact that all his offspring have a job to fix up what he did wrong. So it's not really true he didn't get a different job. But he didn't do it himself. This is the Svarim explain. That if Adam Rishon would not have eaten from Eitz Hadas, then the world would have come to perfection right away. And we are trying to fix. We are still fixing up. We're near the end of fixing up what Adam Rishon didn't do, and that will bring the world to its perfection. Okay. One more small point before we continue. Is that we know that the words of a pasuk, the words of a navi, there's no extra words. Every word has to be accounted for. Every word is important. If not, it wouldn't be here. Seemingly, the end of pasuk beis is a big elaboration, more than necessary. Ukra eleh, call to it, esakriya, the calling, asher anoichi dever elecha, which I will speak to you. It's a lot of words. If you say Ukra eleha, call out to it, es hakriya, that either that will be enough, or to say ukra eleha, es asher anoichi dover elecha, call out to it what I will tell you. It seems to be a repetition. Call out the calling which I will tell you. It's a bit repetitive. The answer to this question is, believe it or not, in a Rashi and Chumash and Parshas Lech Lecha. It comes from a Medrash, where we find a similar thing in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, where Hashem told Avram Avinu. Also, Hashem elaborated a lot. Hashem told Avram, Lech Lecha, go, me'artzucha, from your land, umimelaratucha, from your birthplace, from Beis Avicha, from your father's house, El Oretz, Ashar Areka, to the place which I will show you. Hashem didn't tell him right away where he's going, and there was a big repetition here, from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's house, tell him to go from your land, and everything else will be included. So Rashi says 2 points. One point is, he didn't tell him right away where to go, kedei lechavva ve'enov, to make that he should like it more. This is a thing that we know if a person is a little bit in suspense. If you tell him right away, go here. Hashem would have told Avram, go to Eretz Canaan. Okay, I'm going to Eretz Canaan. If you tell him, go someplace, wherever I show you, then you build up a liking for that place which is yet unknown. And when you find out what it is, oh, now I know what it is. It's a bit more exciting. A person likes that a little bit more. The same thing Rashi brings, Hashem told Avram by the Akedah to go sacrifice Yitzchak. And also, he didn't tell him where to go. Go to one of the mountains, which I'll show you. This is all to make the place more well-liked. In both places, also, by the Akedah also, Hashem also said, take Espincha, your son, Esichidcha, your only son, Asher Hamta, the one you like, it's Yitzchak. He could have told him, take Yitzchak. So Rashi says that besides Kedei Lechava Beinov, there's also to give more schar. Because Losei says schar called Dibur V'Dibur. For every word Hashem says, when you listen to the command, you get more schar, you get more reward. So if Hashem says, even though you're doing the same thing, Hashem says, take your son. You get schar for taking your son. He says, take your son that you love, Yitzchak, your only son. Now Avram will get schar, he'll get reward for listening to Hashem, the four things Hashem said. If Hashem told Avram, leave your land, your birthplace, and your father's house, Avram will now get schar for listening to three things Hashem said. And Rashi says, Kayotzibai, we find in this pasuk, who cry aloud and call out to it, Es HaKriya, the calling Asher Anochi Dover Alach. First of all, he didn't tell him right away what it was. That's also Kedei Lechavva Beinov, we should like it. If I tell you, go, and I will tell you what to say, you held in suspense, that gives a chavivus, it gives you will like it more when Hashem will finally tell him what it is. That's the first concept. And there's more schar, because every word Hashem says is like another command. And the more words Hashem says, now Yaina is listening to more words of Hashem. If Hashem would have said, Kra Eleh, call out to it, Eis Asher Anoichi Dover Elecha, when I will speak to you, then Yaina will get schar for listening to that. If Hashem added an extra word, as a kriya, the calling, now Yaina is listening to more words of Hashem. The more words he listens to, the more of the command he's listening to. And therefore he'll get a bigger schar, a bigger reward. So the reason why we have so many words in this pasuk is to give Yaina more schar. And we find here something interesting. One might think, Yaina got his opportunity already and he didn't listen. Hashem's telling him to do it again. Hashem has to be nice to him and do it in a way he should get more schar. We see from here that yes, even though Yaina did something wrong the first time, now that he repented, he did tshuva, now he's ready to listen, Hashem goes all out to do it in a way that it should be the best for Yaina. Kedei lechavva, he didn't tell him right away what the nevuah will be, so he should like it. And he told him in a way with extra words in order that Yaina should be able to get more schar. Let's see another pasuk. Vayakam Yaina, and Yaina got up. Vayelech, and he went el Ninveh to Ninveh, kedvar Hashem. Like Hashem said, Ninve Haisa, Ninve was Ir Gedolah Lelekim, a big city to Hashem, for Hashem. Mahalach Shloshes Yomim. It took 3 days to walk through the city. That's the size of the city. It took 3 days to walk. The size of Mahalach Shloshes Yomim would simply mean that I would imagine they probably only walked in those days by day, not by night. So if, let's say, the average day is 12 hours, so 12 hours of straight walking for 3 days, which would be 36 hours of walking, that's how long it took to get to cross the city of Nineveh. This idea that Nineveh is Ir Gedolah, the big city that you had earlier, it says that earlier in the Pesukim, but here the Pasuk adds one point. Ir Gedolah Lelekim. It's a big city to Hashem. What does it mean, a big city for Hashem? So some of Hashem, the Radak and the Matsudas learn that it's a way of bringing out the size, how big the city was. When you want to say something is big, I'll give an example. If you say, if you talk about a watermelon, you say it's a big watermelon. That's one understanding. If you talk about an apple and you say it's a big apple does not mean the same thing as a big watermelon. A big watermelon is much larger than a big apple. In fact, a big apple is much smaller than the smallest watermelon. And you say a city is big. What does a big city mean? With regard to what? A big city can mean a lot of things. If you'll talk, you'll go in the olden days in Europe where cities were relatively small and villages were very small, and talk about a big city, okay, well, a city that had a couple of thousand people was very, very big. You talk today in the United States about a big city is going to have a couple million people, or if not, it's barely a city. It's almost not on the map. So what is a big city? So when we talk about big, so by saying it's a big city for Hashem, it's a way of bringing out that it was really a very big city. The Radak shows other examples when you want to say, when the Pasuk, the Torah, wants to say something is big, it will say it's big for Hashem or strong for Hashem. That means it's a way of bringing out that it's really very big and it's a very big or by strong, that's a very strong thing. Some of Farshim say was the biggest city in the world. Interestingly enough, you might be aware of this already, maybe that who built Nineveh? When was Nineveh started? So it's in Parshas Noach. In Parshas Noach, it says that. What? Right. Ashur, when Nimrod, in Parshas Noach, it says that Nimrod wanted to build a big tower, the Tower of Babel. He wanted to build a tower to go fight Hashem. There was one person who dissented, who did not want to go along with Nimrod. And his name was Ashur. And the Pasuk says that Ashur left. Ashur. Vayiven es Nineveh. He built Nineveh. Vesuchay v'si. He built a few cities. And then the pasuk over there already says, "He hoher agdailo." Nineveh was a big city. I mean, Nineveh was a big city from when it was built. It was considered a big city. Maybe already the biggest city in the world. Time-wise, we're talking now, the story of Yonah is at least 1,000 years later. Because the story of the Tower of Babel, the Migdal Babel, was Avraham Avinu was about 48 then. If we figure out, we know that from when Yitzchak was born till Klai Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim was 400 years. That's 452. There's a pasuk in Malachim that says from when they went out of Mitzrayim till the building of the first Beis HaMikdash was 480 years, which would be 932. And the story of Yonah happened somewhere during the first Beis HaMikdash, so we're talking at least 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years, this city stayed a very large city. That's what comes out. It stayed a big city. Which even today, I'm not sure if we find that cities, which are big cities, stay the big city, the famous, the biggest city for that long. because times change. Possibly, Nineveh stayed such a big city for a long time. As the Mefarshim explains, the Purim explains the Parshas Noach, that because Ashur did not go along with Nimrod, which was not such a simple thing in those days. Nimrod, we know, was a very strong and influential person, and it was not easy to fight with him. And Ashur left. He got a schar, he got a reward to build these cities. And it comes out that the fact that he built the biggest city in the world was a reward for him. And because it wasn't just that he happened to build it, it was a reward for doing something good, this city stayed the biggest city in the world for like at least 1,000 years. And with that, we can understand that other Mefarshim say Hashem did not want to destroy Nineveh, and that's why he sent Yonah to Nineveh, because he had Rachmanas, such a big city. He had pity to go and destroy such a big city, such a special place. Hashem didn't want to do it. Hashem doesn't like destroying anything. Sometimes he must do it, but especially if it's something big and special. But maybe with what we just explained from Parshas Noach, we see even more than that. Hashem wanted that the schar of Ashur, that he built a city, he still deserves that his city should continue. And if his city would get destroyed, that means now his reward is finished. So Hashem wanted that if we could do anything to keep Nineveh going, that Nineveh should continue, that's what Hashem wants. And that, maybe that's why the Pasuk now says, Nineveh hoy se'ir gedol l'elikim. It wasn't just a big city, it was a big city to Hashem. A big city to Hashem, the Mefarshim explain, and that it was a big city that Hashem did not want to destroy. And especially for the reason that it was a big city. It was a big city because it was built with the right kavanah, it was built with the right intentions. It was built by somebody who was the first one to go stand on the right side, to go against society, go against what society wanted in those days, and stand up for the right thing. And Ashur was the first one to do that. And this big city that was built with those intentions, now Hashem should just destroy it. Hashem has pity. He does not want to destroy it. There are other Mefarshim who say that Nineveh was a city that until now did the right thing. That's what it means, Ir Gedol Elokim. That Ibn Ezra says, for many generations they did the right thing there. Possibly also, because it was built with the right intention. This was a city of righteous people. Recently, they went wrong. So especially if they were righteous people and recently they went wrong, Hashem wanted to stop them. No, go back to your good ways. And that's what it means. It was a big city to Hashem because they were righteous people, and now Hashem wanted that they should do tshuva and go back to their good ways. Okay, so I guess we didn't get that many psukim in, but we discussed a few important concepts. Let's just review them for 2 minutes. We discussed a concept of sometimes Hashem gives us opportunities, and if we grab them, it's good, we're lucky, and if not. And possibly Yonah might have lost his opportunity. We saw that by Yonah was not that way, like the Mishnah Berurah says, because there are other times where Hashem gives a person a job and a neshama a job, and this must get done. And that was the story here. What Yonah had to do had to get done, whether Yonah wanted to or not. And that is what we see the whole story, that exactly what Hashem wanted came out. And this is something that we have to realize, like the Mishnah Berurah says, with us too. What Hashem wants from our neshama is going to happen, and we might as well do it in the easiest way possible. We also saw how Hashem was being very nice to Yonah, and he added on extra words to his calling in order to give him more schar, because once a person goes on the right way, Hashem is always the ultimate one that does good, and even if a person erred, a person went the wrong way, Hashem will once a person comes back, Hashem will do things in a way that which is the best for a person, even making things better than they would have been otherwise. And lastly, how Hashem has Rachmanis on Nineveh, and how Nineveh is this big city, was also a schar for Ashur, because he was the person who fought Nimrod for so many years ago.
says,